Mr. Lord, good evening. Let's open about the book of Job, chapter 38. And we read verse 1 to verse 4. Job chapter 38, verse 1 to verse 4. We continue to speak about tongue, and it will be part 5. Say the word of God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Pray, O Lord, that your word, the purpose of sending it, shall be accomplished in the life of your church and your people. Draw us near to you through your word. Impart to us understanding and wisdom and humility, so we'll follow your ways, O God. Cleanse our heart with your word tonight. Cleanse our heart and mouth and thoughts, and make us responsible people for the thoughts that we think and the word that we speak. O God, I pray, take the message, O Lord, and bring it beyond the walls to people who are in need to hear this message of yours. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We spoke last week about Job and in his discourse, when he was trying to defend himself with his three friends who came to accuse him, who came to comfort him, but they turned out to be a discomfort to him through the trial that he was passing through. Job started to defend himself and prove himself to them that he did not do wrong things. And while he's going on to defend himself, we also mentioned that he went all with his in his heart, and he was not aware. He did certain things that he spoke wrong against God. And we can read that in chapter 33 and verse 9 to verse 11, when Elihu faced him, he told him what you had spoken. So what Job said, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He's speaking here against God. He counted me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. And from chapter 32, then when Elijah starts to speak, and also this discussion between him and Job, up to chapter 38, now God was hearing all that. And the Lord finally spoke in chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, so the Lord was speaking, and when Job publicly spoke things that had touched God himself, now God, he needed to speak out to defend himself to what Job was speaking, because Job was a righteous man, and his words were considered. But when he went out away from the right limit that God alone, God, he should correct not only Job, but he should correct the people who are there because they have listened to what Job has said. And the Lord say here, who is this that darkens counsel? You know, the word counsel is, you know, when we are sitting together and advise our counsel. That was the counsel of God. That meeting was, God was there presiding, he was saying, but he was there. With what Job spoken, because he's a man, he's a righteous man, he spoke things that had brought darkness to the counsel of God. I mean, the people who were there, the people that was to come out from that meeting outside, will be taken in a way non-correct. So God, he said, who is this man who had darkened counsel? By what? How he darkened the counsel? By words without knowledge. Job spoke words, that word that he spoke were without knowledge. Now, we don't understand that the trials that Job was passing through physically, it is beyond that we can say it is fine or easy. Every one of us who would pass through that trials, every one of us, if we will be put in part of what Job was passing through, we may not be it by our physical body because we have limitations. Now that is one thing, that is one thing true. Job has physical limitation, and me and you, we have also physical limitations when it comes to the hardship of lives and trials and situations that God would lay on us so that his counsel will be very clear to all the people who are around us. That's one aspect, physical limitation. But there's another limitation we should aware of, the limitation of knowing the word of God. For Job, the situation that he was passing through, it might be as an injustice from God upon him. Based on what? Based on the knowledge he have of God's word. Now I'm not saying that based on God's word that was injustice. Based on the knowledge of Job, but he was passing through for him, according to his understanding from the scripture, that was injustice. But for God, for God's word, it was the righteousness of God and it was the justice of God that Job, me or you, we might need to pass through it and it should be fine. Now the point here, when we don't know the word of God well, we will speak words without knowledge. The Lord spoke in verse 3 to him, gather now thy loins like a man, for I will demand on thee an answer dummy. He told him, stand up, I will speak to you, then you have to answer me. He asked him, verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where you have been when I made all the foundations? Declare that thou hast understanding. Have you get the point here? If you have understanding of how I made the earth, then if you have full understanding, if you have understanding of it, then your knowledge, according to what you know, it is also fit and perfect. But he is not aware of me and you also, we are not aware how the earth was fit or has made or had been laid by God when he created everything. The point here, the Lord asked Job here, if thou hast understanding, if you have understanding, and that's also linked with the word knowledge. The word knowledge, it means that you know, right? Did you say, I am the way and the truth and the life? When we don't know certain things in the scriptures, the truth will be also hidden from our eyes. And also, when we speak about the word knowledge or know, there is another word linked with it. When you say, do you know where that things, where place? When you know something, then you can find it. But when you don't know what is it, you can't find it. When we pass the trials in our life, a certain situation, when certain scripture we are not aware of, for us that is the injustice, why I am in that situation. And that limitation, knowing God's word, it will bring us to a situation we are questioning why this had happened to us. And we start to speak things that is not correct. That's why Apostle Peter, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, you know, the word of God says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. And the scriptures, it's what the Lord had given us that we need to know. And that's why we need to study it. We need to read it. We need to go deep in it whenever we are led, whenever we are in need. We can say that any trials in our life is an invitation for us to know the scripture in a deep way. Again, I repeat, every trial that we pass through our situation, we are not understanding what is going on. It is an invitation for us to go more deep into the scriptures, to know where the things that we are not aware of. When we find it, then we can find the truth, and we can find where we are. Why? So that we will not darken the counsel of God with word without knowledge. Book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 5. And say, Apostle Peter, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, Apostle Peter was telling them how to pass the trials in the world. He was telling them how to pass the corruption, how to escape it. He was telling them, well, better we can read it. We read from verse 1 to verse 5. And we find where knowledge is needed. So that when we pass through hardship, we will not darken the counsel of God with word without knowledge. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Again, the word knowledge here is repeated 2 times. In verse 2, grace and peace must be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. You know God, and you know His Word, and you draw near to Him, As we draw near to God, we can see more features of God clearly. You can see my face. There's a distance 4 or 5 meters between us, but if you draw very near, you can see the things that you cannot see from your place. You can see areas that you cannot see 2-3 meters. When you draw close to God, when you draw close to God, we can see details in His Word, and we will know things from His Word. It makes us understand things in a better way. We need to have faith. You say, add to your faith diligence. Add to your faith virtue. We need to have good profile. We need to have good attitude, good work, and add to virtue knowledge with God. Knowledge of God's word. So we will be able to go through trials with deep understanding, knowing what is going in our lives. You know, house can be built by laymen. They can build house. But we know also houses and buildings and very big buildings, it cannot be built by laymen alone. It needs engineers who understand the calculations so they can build something as great as they are doing. The same way here. We need to go deep with God's word so we understand more of His will. So our hearts will be cleansed and our thoughts will be cleansed from the corruption that is so around us. And we'll be able, when we're going to speak, we speak the right counsel, the right advice, the very will of God that He wants us to say. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Why we need to be conservative with our tongues? We need to process the words. We need to think about before we speak whether we need to speak or no. If we don't need to speak, we have to keep silent. We need to control our hearts and thoughts because we might do harms and mistakes. And with this, God will not be silent with us. He will come back and He will correct us and bring us where we had mistaken with Him and His word as He did with Job. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 and verse 24 say, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now here's the point. Keep your heart protected, guarded, watch over it. And after the heart, he said that, put away from thee a forward mouth. Forward mouth is something that is crooked or it is deviated. That is put away from the forward mouth and perverse lips put far from the perverse lip, flattering or lies or bias, or it is favoritism, or it is emotion venting from our heart. Even we know that it's God's will, but still, things when we don't like it, when we start to speak with the words not correct, we are darkening the counsel of God. And we need to be careful of these things. Let's go also to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Here where we have the importance of putting a bridle in our mouth and tongue. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11 say, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. The fool, he put out all what is in his mind, he put it out. But the wise person, he listened and watched, and he will not speak it out. He keep it until afterwards. He know which time they are going to speak and it will be effective. That's where the wise man have knowledge with God. He is attentive to God's voice, and he will move when he hears the voice, he will speak and do the right things. Let's go to also Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 and 12. Say, a word fitly spoken is like apple of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reproof upon an obedient ear. So here, when we speak, it is like we are goldsmith. Dealing with a very delicate things, and we need to connect things together with not our own understanding, but with the Word of God. That is one aspect of it, that we need to reproduce words like we are putting pieces of gold together, like an apple of gold in picture of silver. There's a silver ring of silver, and part of it there is area that they will put gold. That is the way God wants us to speak His word at the right time. And He say also that like an earring of gold, when they put it in the ear, and it will not be removed, right? You cannot take it unless it have some procedure to take it out from the ear. In the same way, an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So we need to check if the person had obedient ear or no. Before we give him the correction. That is, it needed from us more discernment. Before we speak, we should know what to speak, and we should know also the person that we are speaking, because certain time we give peer and God to the peace, and they will turn and they will hurt us and they will harm us. In the Proverbs also, chapter 25, verse 15. So before we speak, we need to know the person. If the person is an obedient person, then we should give him the reproof, the correction, and that will be like an earring in his ear. That will be fit for him, it will be a blessing for him. Also Proverbs 25 verse 15 say, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bones. The soft tongue, certain time there is like a bone, and we usually use with the bone, we use hammer, knife, to break the bone. He say, if you face such person, and he's a prince, you need to have patience, and you need to have a soft tongue. Soft tongue is not that you change the truth, you tell the truth in a tone that was coming from your mouth, it will break that callous or bony heart. So here the scriptures teach us how to speak. Which time we speak, which time we need to be silent. If we come to speak, when we come to speak. The tone of our speak depends on the people, if they are obedient. If they are not obedient, different categories, and that is important also for us to discern with whom we are speaking. Let's also go to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. Does all help us in evangelism? With whom we are speaking, with whom we are contacting, with whom we are reaching out? We need to find out who are the people. Say, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Here, certain time, we face with fool people, foolish people. And that's where the highest level of self-control should be exercised. That really we need to postpone opening our mouth. Because if you're going to answer him in the way that he speaks, you will be, if you are very wise, you will be in the counsel of God. You will be like a fool. When God says, you darken my counsel with word without knowledge, if there's a prince and you need to speak gently to break the bone with your soft tongue, then you have to do this method. If there's a person with an obedient ear and you need to give him a reproof in a way fit for him and a blessing for him, then you know how to do it. But if there's also a fool, then you need to discern it, how you keep your mouth closed. And you will not answer him in the way that he is speaking. You know, the fool certain time, they have a forward mouth. They want to take you sideways from the real issue. And that's where the high level of self-control needed. We should not speak. We need to pray. At such circumstances, when we face, when God put us in such situation, the Bible says, if you meet a bear, rob of his children, better than to meet a fool in his folly. And the best way to keep silent until God himself would deal with the situation. And let's go also to the book of Proverbs and chapter 9 and verse 7 and verse 8 say, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. He says here, somebody scorner, somebody who is foolish, somebody who boasts with his sin. There are people, they boast with their sin. They do wrong and they will just tell it. For them it's just their normal life style. Reprove not a scorner. Why? He is going to hate you. We need to know with whom we are speaking. Say, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man. You see here, we need to give first rebuke. You may ask how you know the wicked man and how you know the man who is foolish. If we are led to give rebuke, and God certain time allow it, even with wicked people, we give a rebuke. If there is reaction back, then they are diagnosed as wicked people, and they are fraud, they are scorn people. When we rebuke and they don't respond, or they will react in a bad way, then we have nothing to do with them. Now, when we rebuke somebody, and that somebody take it diligently and he corrects himself. You know in verse 10 what he say? Read it and tell me what he say, please. In verse 7 he say, he that reproveth a scorner, and he that rebuketh a wicked. In verse 8 he say, reprove not a scorner. You know, after you know that he is a scorner, after you know that he is a wicked man, you no need to more rebuke. In verse 9, can you read what is in verse 9 and tell me what you need to do? Say, give instruction to a wise man. Which time you give the instruction to the wise man? After you had rebuked him and he responded positively to your rebuke. That person give him instruction, teach him. Tell him this wrong way, come. I will teach you the right way. But if he reacts, don't give him the secret of God. But that's what he said, give instruction to a wise man. And he will be yet wiser, teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Again, back to knowledge, learning. Back knowing the word of God, the will of God. Amen. So let me just summarize the last one, emphasize on it. We may not have the discernment to know that is a wicked or that is a scoundrel, and that's wise. But the test dose is the reproof and the rebuke. You give it this dose, you will find the people two types. Type react against you, and you know them already, because you use God's word. And they start to hate you. No need to resist. Keep them aside. The other category, they respond. Now to those people you give instruction, because they will be wiser. They will learn more. They will be blessed more. And they will also love you. Amen? Let's stand. Let's thank God for His word to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your words to us. God, ask for forgiveness at certain time. I have darkened your counsel with word without knowledge, without understanding. I have jumped to topics and areas I should not be, Lord. And your counsel had been deviated. I pray, O God, I ask you to give me wisdom and discernment and perseverance in knowing you and drawing myself nearer to you. God, help me to understand more of your word and more of your will. I commit myself, O Lord, to apply the message in my life so that I will receive your blessing and I will be blessings to others. Thank you, Lord, you taught me today that I should test people with a reproof and rebuke. Those who respond, I continue to instruct them, and those who react, I will just keep them aside, O God. I will keep my mouth closed. I trust that you will be the one to handle them. O God, in the name of Jesus, pray for my brothers and sisters. You bless them, O God, as they obey, as they receive your word. Give them deep understanding, O God, from your word. Guide them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, many times we are not aware, we are stuck with hard people. Show us who are the princes that we need to speak gently, soft tongue. O God, show us, O God, those who have an obedient ear, that we will give a word aptly spoken that they may really need it. O God, lead us with the Holy Spirit. Open our ears to hear you well, and we are willing, O God, to be directed and moved where you want us. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, God, because there is none like you, O God, in our life. We magnify you. We adore you. We thank you, God. We bless you. bless us as we abide with your word. Bless us indeed, Lord. Enlarge our spiritual guide. Let your hand with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.